Okay, so we'll restart now with a half an hour session, which is continuing on from yesterday and the discussion we started on the request that we had from the board. We in the GAC received a request to look at how to implement the request that came in from the Red Cross and the Olympic Committee to have a set of reserved names. Yesterday, we looked at ways to take that forward at GNSO Council level. One of the ways that was... Can I ask the operator to start the recording, please?
The recordings have started.
Thank you. So one of the ways that came out of that discussion yesterday was that we might want to look at doing something that wouldn't be called a working group, that would be a joint group with the GAC to look at this issue and how we could take it forward. One of the ideas that came out of yesterday's discussion was to almost go back to a task force kind of model on this. And that's where we left off yesterday. So let me open this up once again for discussion. And with a reminder that the aim is for us to try and prepare a way forward that we can then discuss with the GAC when we meet with them later on this afternoon. So if anyone has any comments, please make them. Short session. Jeff, get on the case. Yeah. Just going to say something to pass the time.
Good morning. I think yesterday we talked about a mechanism, and then we floated some ideas here, and the approach that we were going to take with the GAC, and I'm just reading some of my notes here, was to see if there was some sort of group, whatever we call it, to just work collaboratively to get their input on. That there were some questions that were raised or some issues raised here as to when you're asking for it on the reserved names list, you know, is it like the reserved name for the word example, in which case it would be something that could never be removed from the reserved names list, or was it something more akin to the reservation of a two-letter country code where you can basically petition, or the registry operator can petition the right to have the name removed. And I think what it says in the contract, and I was just looking this up, it says there that the registry operator may propose release of these reservations based on its implementation of measures to avoid confusion with the corresponding country codes. That would be for the release of the two characters. And I think later on it goes on to state that if you want release, that you'll, or I should say for country and territory names, those are reserved. But it says, provided that the reservation of specific country and territory names may be released to the extent that registry operator reaches agreement with the applicable governments, provided further that, provided further that the registry operator may also propose release of these reservations subject to review by ICANN's Government Advisory Committee and approval by ICANN. So there's a couple different types of reserved names that this could fall into. Yesterday we also talked about should we distinguish based on the, there's one set of names for the Olympic Committee, there's one set of names that are reserved for the Red Cross, and I don't think we finished that discussion. So I think those are some of the items that we should talk about now, and what the approach is to bring this up with the governments, with the GAC.
Thanks, Jeff. Anyone want to comment? I mean, the aim really clearly is to also use this time to prepare this specific topic for our discussion with the GAC this afternoon. I mean, if we are to move forward and propose a kind of joint whatever, then we as a council need to be sure that we're all on the same page. You'll remember that Jeff volunteered to lead this effort I've not had time to send this to the council yet, but Zahid also volunteered, sent an email. I forget if you sent it to the council, just me. Okay. So Zahid sent an email volunteering for the group as well. So the group seems to exist already. So we just have to find a name for the entity. But if we move towards that model, then we can perhaps let Jeff, if he's going to lead this effort, introduce that kind of notion with the GAC this afternoon when we talk about it. And once again, the understanding that I had from my notes from yesterday was that we would be very much in open hand kind of mode, but not servile. Did you want to? Wendy?
So one question that I would have for the GAC, and I'm not sure how we can ask this diplomatically, but is to what degree are they coming to consultations with us open to the possibility that we might not agree with everything that they've proposed and we're not simply rushing to implement their recommendations but pushing back on some of them? And how can we is there room for us to have a dialogue, or are they just going to push to the board if they don't get agreement from us?
Well, yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, that's why I said not servile, because I think what we agreed yesterday was that we would not necessarily pass the message that you've sent us a letter, we'll just rush off and implement every word. What we're trying to find is some common way forward. Now, there's nothing to do, in my understanding, is that there's nothing for us to stop what you've just said, i.e. them going to the board and doing something. That's not, but, you know, at this stage, the board has asked both of our entities to look at this, so one would hope that we would be given the time to look at it, although time is short, as we know. Jonathan.
Stefan and other councillors, I mean, my understanding of this was that our approach was to be, that what I thought we got to was our approach was to be twofold. It was, and was, I think, agreed yesterday that it's very important for us to, half of it is diplomatic. Half of it is saying, we really appreciate all the good work that's gone into this. This is a well-structured letter. This sets out a compelling case. This is a really interesting area. We've talked about it. We've given it attention. And to emphasize all of those elements of our response. The second component is to say, having said all that, we don't have unanimity on the council. And so we think that in the way in which to deal with this issue, and so we believe that the way forward is to work with you to see if a workable solution can be found. And I think it's as simple as that. It's to get those two key points across. We've taken their request and their interest very seriously. We've given it the time it deserves. We appreciate the work that's gone into it. But it didn't result in a uniform response from the council, and so there's some further work to be done. Thank you.
Alan.
Thank you. There's a prior step to that, I think, and at least related to the item I brought up, and then Jeff gave some interesting insights on. First, we have to make sure we understand, we both are sure we understand exactly what we're talking about. And as long as the letter is and as detailed is, there is at least one or two areas where it's not clear that they've asked for the right thing, or even if they've asked for the right thing, if it's restricted or, Jeff, I forget the other type of name you have, which is reserved, not reserved, but available when they ask nicely. And I'm sure, for instance, the Red Cross wants to be able to register the Red Cross. So, you know, it's not a forbidden name. It's one that can only be released to the right people. So they may have used the technically incorrect terms, and because of the issue I brought up, they may not be asking for exactly what they thought they were asking for. So the first step is to make sure we're all talking about the same thing and that we raise the issues that, from our experience, says we need to have clarity on before we say yes or no. It's rather improper, I think, to say we don't have unanimity on agreeing when we're not even sure what it is they're asking.
Thanks, Alan. Thomas.
I would like to support what Jonathan said, that this really needs a diplomatic approach. The GNSO should not be seen as being stubborn in this area and defensive. But at the same time, I think that actually when it comes to this discussion, one of ICANN's core missions is concern, and that is not to give additional rights to rights holders, right? And by opening the door to almost everybody coming in and asking for being for getting additional rights, that would be quite a dangerous precedent, and therefore this policy, I think there needs to be a solid policy surrounding it to prevent this actually from the seal being broken. And also a reconsideration process is needed for those who have legitimate rights in certain jurisdictions to have a certain name, actually to get that namespace open for themselves.
Thanks, Thomas. Debbie.
Thanks, Stefan. So two things. One, the reason I had asked the question yesterday, whether or not there were any questions that had been sent on to the GAC, I think they were hoping to get some questions in advance of the meeting so that they could respond appropriately and be poised to have a conversation. It's my understanding, and I can't speak for the GAC, obviously, but it's my understanding that they're hoping for a dialogue and wanted to put some Q&A type of things together to share. The other thing that I would say is for a next step forward, trying to move this along, if there's more comment about how we would create that group, I think that would be helpful. I think some interesting points were raised yesterday about nomenclature, and if we can just get past what we call it, but just say that we're going to try to work together. I know there may be some concerns with how we frame that, but I think obviously framing the type of work might be a way towards getting to an end and to getting some resolution. And then, to Alan's point about the nature of protection, I know that from our organization's perspective, obviously it's a reservation of rights, so we're reserving the right. Should Red Cross want to register, you know, redcross.shop or whatever, but it's a reservation of rights for the organizations for whom the protection is to be applied to.
Thanks. Ching.
Thank you. And I'd like to actually echo on what Alan just said. I'd like to offer, not in the council capacity, but from the registry who's really done some comprehensive work when we launched our own TOD. We've worked with the GEC, actually not GEC as a whole, but with prospective members. So each members from the Asia Pacific, we work with them. We went through a 7-month process of how do you like to call it, negotiating, bargaining of what are the names to be put on a certain list to be protected, to be reserved, to be blocked. So what I'm leading to I would like to actually point out is that whether we should work with them and what type of mechanism of this group, will there be a GEC position on certain lists? From my own experience, I have some doubts on that, because eventually we will have to talk with every government on their cities, on their cultures, on their foods. Some may have royal family names. Some may have some major political figure names to be put on such lists. And you can go on and on and on without it could put you into a infinitive process. So I have I'm also, just to point out, this is my personal view, I have some reservation on the outcome of this potential working group, but I'm for a exploration of trying to setting up some mechanism of work things out. But my own experience tells me that at the end, each registry may just have to deal with prospective countries. Just my 2 cents.
That's useful. Thanks, Ching. Zahid.
Thanks, Ching. That's actually a good one to watch out for, because we don't want this to sort of just expand to no end. What I think we should also keep in mind is that we're not responding to each and every government. And what we will be doing is responding to the GAC. So if something comes out of the GAC, I'm sure they have their own processes. It'll be limited. So, you know, let's keep that in mind as well.
Just quickly, right? So, right, I think that's the ideal case, but from our own experience, and also putting my .Asia head back on, is always the GAC will come back to the member states or their member, then they will have to go through a lengthy process, and some GAC member, they will simply reply, our position is no reply because potentially a GTOD operator is a commercial entity, and they have no responsibility to reply such.
Thanks. Andre.
Let's be real. The objections will be always be a form of letter addressed to the ICANN CEO from the particular government or from the particular bureaucrat in the government. You know, within the countries, majority of the countries even don't know that such a structure as a GAC exists. So let's be real. There will be objections.
Mary.
Thanks, Stefan. I think the members in my SG that share the concerns that Ching has just raised, obviously. And to some extent, I think the document and the Q&As that Debbie had spoken of would be helpful, at least for this specific instance. But I think going forward, Ching raises some really good points. I think on a related note, it's a question, but it's a related note, and I brought this up yesterday. I don't think anybody really wanted to answer it, so that's okay if you don't want to answer it now, but I feel obliged to bring it up again, that in the GAC letter, it talks about this particular act as an implementation detail and talks about it as an amendment to the registry agreements. And I did wonder, and members of my group did wonder, if this is a statement and a position that the council agrees with. Irrespective of the nature of the group and what it is that we do, that seems to be the premise of the GAC letter, and I felt it was worth spending a few minutes on if that was also a matter of concern to others.
Jeff.
So I have a question on that, and maybe someone who's got more history, and I don't know if Marilyn's still in the room.
She is.
So when the GNSO proposed the policy to the board on new GTLDs, I do not believe the reserved names list was final at that point. I think there was still work that was being done on it. Was it part of the policy that was actually referred to the board at that point in time?
The reserve name working group was an independent working group that Chuck chaired, and we had subparts that included looking at whether what the conditions would be for the release and allocation of single letter names at the second letter, examining the technical issues that still limited symbols at both the first and second level and numbers, but also looked at some of the other questions about changes in the existing reserve names list. We did not develop a procedure about adding new categories of reserved names. But we did do, I think, a pretty exhaustive look at what the present conditions are and identified what the various lists are of reserved names. It's a pretty robust report that could be referred to fairly easily, I think, as a background resource.
Thanks, Marilyn. Thanks, Stefan. The reserve, for those that don't know, the reserve names working group was a part of the new GTLD process. That group made recommendations with regard to reserve names that the council then, in its approval of the new GTLD program, approved. Okay. Now, we did not specifically address the two name categories that we're talking about now. Somebody, I think maybe it was Jeff, that asked the question with regard to how it all works. I mean, reserve names basically do go in the contract. There's a schedule in the registry agreement that has reserve names, and there are different categories Like Jeff has already pointed out, in the case of two-character names, there is, at the second level, those are reserved initially, but there is an exception procedure that can be followed, and if the conditions are met, it could be used at the second level. So there is precedent for that kind of thing. I recognize the complications that some of you are raising with regard to doing that in this case. But the original reason that I raised my hand was to just talk about discussions that we had in the registries when this issue first came up quite a few weeks ago. And our concerns were really setting undue precedent, you know, opening up the door so this becomes a revolving door, some issues like that, because that's what we saw as problems. Now, in my personal opinion, and we're still discussing it in the registries, in my personal opinion, and like I said yesterday, the GAC's letter actually put a lot of those concerns, at least in my mind, to rest. I don't see those risks there anymore for the undue expansion, the misuse of this, for another name category to be added like these two, they would have to meet a pretty high bar. And so what I'm sharing with you right now, the original concerns we had before we ever saw the GAC letter have been addressed in my mind, at least, and I feel pretty comfortable about that.
Thanks very much, Chuck.
We have 4 minutes left in this session. Any other comments? Please.
Hi, everyone. If you don't know me, my name is Phil Morano. I work for Silverberg, Goldman, and Bykov in Washington, D.C., and we serve as outside counsel for intellectual property and internet law matters for the International Olympic Committee. I just wanted to briefly respond to some of the statements made yesterday regarding treating the IOC differently or problems that some folks might have with the IOC's end of the proposal. I would encourage those people to look at the history here and look at the citations in the GAC letter to the GNSO Council, wherein a lot of these issues are actually addressed and answered. I mean, the relevance of the Nairobi Treaty, things like that, the nonprofit mission of the IOC, it's all in the relevant history. And, you know, in addition to that, I'm here, so just please approach me and ask me any questions you have. I'm happy to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Thanks. Thanks for making yourself known to everyone. Any further comments? Sorry, Alan. I can't see you. You're behind a fan.
That's why I'm waving in both directions. Just a very quick point. One of the previous questions that Marilyn and Chuck answered had a tone to it as if that the reserve names list is a fixed entity, and once it's set, it doesn't change. I would have thought by its nature that's not the case. For instance, GNSO is a reserved name in the list. If our name merged to the XNSO, I presume that would be added to the GNSO, to the reserve name list similarly. So I would think by its nature it is a potentially dynamic list.
If it's okay for me to respond, Stefan?
Yes.
Like Marilyn said, we didn't actually develop a process for changing it, but I think that's a fair assumption that you make, that changes could be made. At some point, maybe we should talk about how that would change. There are certainly ways that that we could probably implement without a formal process, but I think it's a fair assumption that it's not something that can't change in the future, just like it could change right now.
Thanks. Jeff, Marilyn, and I'll bring this to a close.
Just so everyone knows, it has changed since that list. In fact, GNSO and ICANN are no longer on that list. The only name that's reserved permanently is example. That's it. No other word is reserved permanently. Everything else has either, you know, XN-dash-dash is reserved, but it's reserved for a particular use for IDNs. CCs are, or the two-letter CC code is reserved but can be removed. And the other category is country and territory names, which are initially reserved but can be removed. So let's not kid ourselves. I don't believe it's an issue of policy. It's an implementation issue. It's changed since day one. I think we should get over that. We have a very detailed and specific request from the GAC, and I think we should deal with it. Let's get over these issues of whether it's policy or implementation and move forward.
I was going to say exactly what Jeff said.
Well, that's a good way to end a meeting. Okay, well, we'll pick this up again with the GAC, I'm sure. Thanks very much. We have a half an hour break, then we will convene again for the new GTLD session. Operator, please end this session now.